Well, good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
It's so good to be with you today and to bring God's Word. And we're praying that this will be a good time for all of us in the will of the Lord. Thank you for praying for us. We're so busy preaching the Word of God in different places. I'd just like to put a little reminder for some of the guys here today, elders and what we call prospective elders. We're having another men's conference in Nanaimo on the 13th of October. Just keep that date in mind and we'll keep you posted as to the arrangements. But we've had some good times together. We're looking forward to another time in October. It'll be coming up real soon. Anyway, this morning we want to go to the Word of God and I want to read from the book of Isaiah again. Or Isaiah, however you pronounce it here. We were in Isaiah the last time I was with you, in chapter 1, if I recall. But we're going to chapter 26 today. Another of the great promises that the prophet Isaiah gives us. He was one of the great prophets of Israel. And when you read and study this prophecy, there are a couple of things that you need to keep in mind. One is that a lot of what he says, being a prophet, of course, he's predicting things to come. That is one of the wonderful things about Isaiah. And also, it's one of the wonderful things about our Bible. I don't know if you remember this, but a third of our Bible is made up of prophecy. So it must be important. And when you look into prophecy in Scripture, we're seeing how God is predicting things that are going to happen in the future. And one of the amazing things about Isaiah's prophecy is how he prophesied so many things regarding the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ into the world and his death on the cross and so on. It was amazing the detail. But he also says a lot about future events that are still to happen. And he talks, among other things, about God's judgment coming one day, how God's going to judge the world for the sin of the world. But also that he talks a lot about the great future for Israel and the great millennial kingdom when Jesus Christ will reign upon the earth. All these things are mentioned in Isaiah's prophecy, looking to the future. But also in among all of that, there's a wonderful message for us today. There's a predictive message, a prophetic message, but there's also a practical message for us today. And we're going to read a bit about that practical stuff. But I want to say this to you, that before we read this scripture, if you take time to read the context that it comes in, you'll discover that it comes between two sections where Isaiah is talking about God's judgment coming upon the earth. And then also he goes on to talk about the reign of the Lord Jesus, the millennial kingdom, when Jesus will reign upon the earth for 1,000 years, that's yet to come. And it's all part of our hope as believers. Now, ladies and gentlemen, this morning, if there's one thing our world needs to know and that people are longing for, and I've been discovering this in conversations with people, as a matter of fact, just this morning when I was out walking, I met a lady, we know her, she walks with two dogs around our area, and we got talking about this kind of thing, and she was talking about the fact that we need hope for the future. All of us need hope. I want to tell you this morning, that is what this message is all about. That is what the message is all about. And whatever is happening in our world, and you look around today, and you think, where is it all going to end? Everything seems to be coming unglued and falling apart, and so much is happening that would cause great anxiety. Ladies and gentlemen, let me say to you again, and Isaiah talks about this too, that our God is the God of the nations. He is in control, believe it or not, but he is. And God is working his purposes out. And the only thing that we can, the only way we can have real hope for the future is to be in relationship with Almighty God. Now, that's a very important thing. And when you read through Isaiah, you find that that comes up again and again and again. And I want to just say this to you today, and I want you to think about this. The God that we're talking about, folks, is the God who is completely and utterly trustworthy. Please understand that. He is completely trustworthy. And when we learn to trust him, then he will demonstrate his love, his power in our experience every day. Now, a lot of people have a problem with that, and I understand there are intellectual questions to be faced, etc., etc., and that's okay. But I also want to say this to you, can I put this thought in your mind, that sometimes today in our world, we make the mistake of thinking about God in the light of science. Okay? What do the scientists say? I want to suggest to you today, and we'd be much better to think about science in the light of God. God is the beginner. He is the originator of it all. He is what somebody has, one of the Jewish scholars, Dr. Buxbegin, you probably won't remember that name, but one of the things he says in his commentary on Isaiah is that God is the ultimate reality. He is the ultimate reality, and as such, he underlies all reality. And so you see, people, therefore, the God we're talking about is the God who is their creator, and his desire is for you and I to live our lives in harmony, in fellowship with him. And as we're doing that and walking with God, then we're going to discover the reality of who he is and what he can do in our lives. Now, I want to say something to you here too. I meet a lot of people and I talk to them and talk to them about God. For example, just comes into my mind, a week past on Friday, there was a magnificent rainbow up over Victoria. I don't know if any of you saw it. It was absolutely amazing. Complete bowl. And I was out for my walk that morning, and I saw a gentleman out in front of his house taking a photograph of it. So I felt prompted to talk to this gentleman, and I said to him, "It's magnificent, isn't it?" He said, "It sure is." I said, "Do you know what it means?" And he kind of looked at me. I said, "I'll tell you what it means. It says the God who created all that beauty is telling, that's his sign that he will never judge the world again by a flood." Well, he looked at me as if I was nuts, to tell you the truth. And then he said, "Oh, believe what you like, guy." But I want to tell you something. Every time that guy sees a rainbow, he'll think about the idiot that told him about God. Amen? And I don't mind being a fool for Jesus' sake. I just don't. I really don't. If it'll make somebody think. People, this is the God, the Almighty Creator. And his greatest desire is that you and I be in fellowship with him. And we walk and talk with him. Now, keeping all that stuff in mind, we're going to read one of the bits in Isaiah that talks about present reality, if you like, how this can work for you and me. And it's in chapter 26, an amazing promise. Chapter 26, where he says, I'm just going to read the first few verses. In that day, this song will be sung in the land of Judah. Now, in that day, he's talking about future things that he's been prophesying that are going to happen. But, and he said, we have a strong city. He sets up walls and ramparts for security. Open the gates that the righteous nation may enter, the one that remains faithful. The steadfast of mind you will keep in perfect peace. Now, maybe your translation says, thou wilt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee. This is the New American Standard, and I think it emphasizes it beautifully. The steadfast of mind, and I'll talk about that in a moment, you, God, will keep in perfect peace because he trusts in you. Trust in the Lord forever. For in God the Lord, we have an everlasting rock. Isn't that an amazing promise? Now, when you stop to think about this, notice what he talks about here. He talks about perfect peace. That's his promise. And you're sitting there saying this morning, when you think about all that's going on in your life, and you're saying, wouldn't that be something? And your life is maybe in utter turmoil today, and all kinds of things going wrong. And you're saying to yourself, how on earth could that ever be a possibility? This is the promise of God. I'm going to try and explain it for you in a minute. You will keep him in or her in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on you. Because He trusts in you. Now you see, folks, these things become a reality when we know the meaning of learning to trust God and walk with Him in our lives every day. This is important. I was in my own study of Scripture recently. There are two phrases that God brought before me, and the one I want to emphasize today, and another maybe we'll emphasize it next Sunday in the will of the Lord. But one is what Book of Proverbs in chapter 14, verse 30 talks about: a tranquil heart, which is life to the body. A tranquil heart. Now, wouldn't you agree that in this world of utter chaos, a tranquil heart is a treasure indeed? To have peace in one's heart. What Isaiah the prophet talks about as perfect peace. Now, let's examine that in a bit more detail. What does he mean? You will keep him in perfect peace. In the original Hebrew language in which Isaiah's prophecy was written, the word there, it is literally, you will keep him in peace, peace. And it's the word in the Hebrew language, shalom. You will keep him in shalom, shalom. And that's a wonderful word, actually. And I'm trying to explain what shalom means. And I came across this quote. It's not a terrifically long one, but it's from a theologian. And I'd like to read it. I really enjoyed this when I found it the other day. It says, "The webbing together of God, humans, and all creation in justice." This is what it means. This is what shalom means, okay? This is what it means. "The webbing together of God, humans, and all creation in justice, fulfillment, and delight is what the Hebrew prophets call shalom. We call it peace, but it means far more than mere peace of mind or a ceasefire between enemies. In the Bible, shalom means universal flourishing, wholeness, and delight. A rich state of affairs in which natural needs are satisfied and natural gifts fruitfully employed. A state of affairs that inspires joyful wonder as its Creator and Savior opens doors and welcomes the creatures in whom He delights. Shalom, in other words, is the way things ought to be." That's quite a mouthful, isn't it? And you're going to forget all that I've just read to you. I know you are. But think about this bit. Shalom really means the way things ought to be. And when God offers you peace in your life, or me as well, praise God, He's saying, this is how it ought to be. And this is how it can be. This is how it can be. Now, dear friends, this morning, when I was talking to this lady on my walk today, and she was talking about hope, and she was saying she was going to go to her church, I said, I'm going to preach at a little church, Westview Gospel Chapel, here in Victoria this morning. And I said to her, she's talking about hope, and I said, I'm going to be preaching from Isaiah chapter 26, where the prophet says, you will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you. And I explained to her what that meant. And people, this is why Jesus came into the world. This is why the Bible says that God so loved the world that He gave His only Son, that whoever believes in Him, whoever trusts in Him, will never perish, will not face the judgment Isaiah talks about, but will have eternal, everlasting life. That is God's heart for you, my friends. That is God's heart for me. That's why Jesus Christ came, the revelation of God to the world, that we might be reconciled to God, that we might get to know Him for ourselves. One of my grandsons, I sent him a movie recently, The Case for Christ. I said to him when I saw him just a few weeks ago, have you watched the movie? Oh no, he said, I forgot all about it. That was what his excuse was anyway. I said to him, and then he said to me, he said to us that evening, because he had been injured in a hockey game, and so he couldn't go out with his dad, so we stayed to watch, stay with him and keep him company. He and his sister said they would like to watch a movie. So we watched a movie. And it was called Doctor Strange. I see some knowing looks. strange is the word for it. The special effects were amazing, mind. Absolutely amazing. But in the movie, they talk again and again about eternal life. They talk again about spirituality, all that kind of stuff. The very things people are looking for. And when the movie was over, I said to my grandson, isn't that interesting? He's 15. I said, isn't that interesting? They're all talking about spirituality and eternal life. I said, you know that movie I sent to you? The Case for Christ? I said, you haven't even begun to think through properly the whole problem of God until you take into account Jesus Christ. You haven't thought about the God thing thoroughly enough until you think about Jesus. Jesus is the revelation of God to the world. He really is a historical figure. He really did die on a cross. He really did rise from the dead, that you and I might come into the experience of peace with God, shalom, rediscovering why you're here in the first place. Discovering, in other words, as the writer says, things the way they ought to be. Now, this is an amazing thing, really. Some of you might be sitting there saying, this is too good to be true. This is pie in the sky when you die. No, people, this is reality. This is reality. Now, when you think about this, this gift that God is offering us, I want to say another couple of things about it. It's very important that the promise comes from God. It comes from God. It says, the prophet writing about God says, you will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you. It's God's work. Now, please understand, people, you cannot make this happen. You can't go into a corner somewhere and meditate for 6 months and come away with perfect peace. You cannot make this happen. It's not self-made. It's not self-made. It is a gift from God. Something to be received. Now, anybody who talks about knowing the peace of God and relationship with God, anybody who talks about being born again or whatever, are all people who have received something, and they know they've received something. Okay? And you see, when the Bible talks about peace, the Lord Jesus himself said in John 14, peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you. Do you see? So what Jesus is saying, people, is that his own peace. Now, we could talk all morning about the peace that Jesus enjoyed in his life day by day. He faced the world at its worst. He faced the storms in life. He faced all kinds of challenges. And I always love the story on the Sea of Galilee, and the storm broke out, and which everybody else is in a flat panic. What's Jesus doing? He's fast asleep. And he stood up and he said to the wind and the waves, peace, be still. Amen. The very peace of Jesus, listen to me, people, he wants to put that inside you. Now listen to me. Now, this is very, very important. Pin your ears back, okay? This is very important. I know, I understand that we all have to face challenges in our lives. For example, can you identify, can you identify with what the psalmist said in Psalm 13, where four times over he says to God, how long, O Lord? He was at the stage where he's almost saying to God, I can't stand this 1 minute longer, God. How long is this going to go on? Ever been there? How long? It was a lament from his heart. Many of us can identify with that. Or, what about when you're sitting in a corner somewhere full of self-pity? I'm going to be very honest with you. I can battle with that. When things go wrong, I can sit down and start feeling sorry for myself and go have a real pity party. Okay? Where's the peace of God then? I'm the guy preaching this to you. I'm just as human as you are. My wife's in here. She'll say, oh, I wonder I don't hear the big amen right now. But what about things like that? Or what about when we get hit by discouragement? Everything seems to go wrong, and maybe sometimes you feel like giving up your faith altogether. What about things like that? Or what about times when husbands and wife have what somebody called a time of intense fellowship? Don't tell me you don't know what I'm talking about, because you're telling lies if you say that. You know what I'm talking about. We all have it. My wife and I have had times of intense fellowship. Trust me. What do we do with things? Where's this amazing peace when these things are happening? That's real life, isn't it? Or what about the temptation, you know, the type of temptation that faced the Lord Jesus? It wasn't so much the temptation to sin, but more in the sense that the devil was trying to deviate him from God's purpose for his life. Do you know? And you and I can be, as believers, we can get lulled into some kind of sleep and we become prayerless Christians, for example. And the joy goes away. The sharp edge is off of it all. Or what about the times when we feel insecure? We're all of different temperaments. And we need to remember that. And God has to deal with all of us individually. And some of us are very insecure people. And if everything's not going A, B, C, and D every day of the week, you know, it's like, I can't remember the writer's name now, but he says how some of us live like dogs and cats, you know what I mean? When we had a dog, he used to go to a certain cupboard in our house at 4 o'clock every afternoon without fail. Boom, boom, boom. Because he knew the cookies were in there. And that's when he got fed. Many of us live like that. And if something upsets our routine, we are in utter chaos. You can't legislate for each other, you see, folks, because we're all different temperaments. And we're all in our individual walk with God. But the whole point is this. Hallelujah. You will be kept in perfect peace, whose mind, your mind, my mind, whoever you are today, whatever your temperament, whatever your circumstances, when your mind is stayed on God and you're trusting Him, you will experience things as they ought to be for you. Amen?
Amen.
As God intended them to be. Hallelujah. And that is a wonderful, wonderful promise. And so make no mistake about it, the Lord wants to implant in you and me His own peace. The Bible teaches me that Jesus is my peace. He doesn't give me it. The Bible tells me in the book of Galatians that the fruit of the Spirit, one aspect of the fruit of the Spirit, is peace. And fruit in a plant, as you've heard me say before, comes from the inside. It's not stuck on from the outside. It comes from the inside. The life that's inside produces the fruit. The life of Jesus in me produces that peace when I'm walking with Him. Amen? And that is God's will for you, my friend. That is God's will for me. It is an amazing promise. So it's not self-made, but it's an experiential thing. Now, let's go a little further here. I mentioned the phrase, a tranquil mind. The other phrase that God has laid on my mind in recent days was reading in Acts chapter 11 and talking about that wonderful man that's called a good man. Barnabas was a good man. And it tells me in Acts chapter 11, I'm just going to read this little phrase for you because I think it's very beautiful. When he came to a place called Antioch, it says, he witnessed the grace of God. That means he saw for himself what God had done in the people in Antioch who had responded to the gospel. And he rejoiced and began to encourage them all with resolute heart to remain true to the Lord. With resolute heart. Now I believe that that applies to Barnabas and to the people he talked to. He came and with a resolute heart, he encouraged them to remain true to the Lord. And I believe he also was saying to them, what I'm saying to you is that you also, with resolute heart, will remain true to the Lord. Now, why am I telling you all this? Because in recent times, you know, I don't know if you're anything like me, but every so often I need to go through a time of stock taking in my life, if you like. Back to basics. Heart searching. Where am I in my own walk with God? Where am I in my relationship with the Lord? Where is my prayer life right now? All that kind of thing. And I believe that the Word of God would encourage us, ladies and gentlemen, if you don't say you know Jesus today, you need to be encouraged in this day and age that with a resolute heart, you will remain true to the Lord. With a resolute heart. In other words, that you will get your act together and you will examine your heart and you will begin to discipline your life so that you're spending time in the Word of God, you're spending time in prayer, and your number one thing is to walk with God. Amen? There's a church near where I live, and they had on their notice board outside a few weeks ago this phrase, "What consumes your mind controls your life." What consumes your mind controls your life. Isn't that the truth? Whatever you think about most. Now, I know a lot of you guys, we're all busy and life goes on and there's the challenges of everyday life and your job and your family and so it goes on and on and on. But what is the underlying thing that is most important for us? The Bible says that He will keep you in perfect peace when our mind is stayed on Him. Amen? When our mind is stayed on Him. And that word stayed, it literally means from the Hebrew language, our mind is firmly established. It is at rest there. Okay? Our mind is at rest there. If you're anything like me, you've come to the Lord numerous times and you've said, "Lord, I'm not sure I understand what's going on right now. But I want you to know, Father, I'm trusting you anyway. I'm trusting you anyway." I love it. Every time I say that, it comes to my mind, and you've probably heard me saying this before, but forgive me. I remember staying with a family in England many, many years ago, and up above their fireplace on the mantelpiece, they had this big notice. It said, "Hallelujah anyway." Isn't that great? Lord, we're in a mess. Our world is crumbling around us. But praise you, Lord. I want you to know I'm trusting you anyway. I choose to trust you, Lord. Faith, ladies and gentlemen, is not an emotion. It's an act of your will. You decide to trust God. You do the Nike thing. You just do it. You decide to trust God. It's an act of your will. And that is an amazing thing because it's like, I love the illustration in the book of Exodus in chapter 33, and I was just reading it this morning as a matter of fact. And Moses is coming to the Lord. I'm talking to God about who was going to go with him as he led the people of Israel to the future. And he said to the Lord, Lord, he said, if your presence doesn't go with us, don't take us any further. Lord, I don't want to go another step in life unless I have your presence with me. Now, people this morning, if you are trusting the Lord, if He is your Savior and you're in relationship with Him, that is a given. Amen? That is guaranteed. His presence will go with you.
Hallelujah.
He will be indwelling you every step of the way. He will be there. Hallelujah. And then, this is what it says in Exodus 33. Moses says to the Lord, "So that I and your people may be distinguished from all the other people on the earth." Now, here's a challenge for us today. I don't know if you're anything like me, But when you see some of the things that are going on in our world, and only this morning something I heard on the radio, and it just absolutely breaks your heart, actually. It breaks your heart to think of people out there who have no hope, they have no peace, and the future seems very black. People go to all sorts of lengths. We need to have tremendous compassion, ladies and gentlemen. We need to have tremendous compassion for our world. How is it? Now, listen to me. How is it that people out there are looking at us sometimes as Christians and it's a totally negative reaction that they have towards us? You know, at Lambrick Park Church, which is our home church here in Victoria, the Lord is doing some very special things right now. And one of the things God is doing up there right now is he's forcing us all out of our comfort zones. People are coming into Lambrick Park Church without, they're just turning up. And trust me, they've got baggage. People are just showing up that are facing the big challenges of life out there. Okay? Listen to me, men and women, this morning. We as believers need to be the kind of people who are characterized by the peace of God that passes all understanding. This is what will distinguish us as the people of God. The world needs to come among us and walk in that door and be loved out of their socks. No matter who they are. Are you hearing me? No matter who they are, all your responsibility and mine is to love people who don't know Jesus and love them to the extent that eventually you bring them to the cross where they can meet Jesus for themselves. That's exciting, isn't it? That is so exciting. But this is part of the whole process. This is part of what God is doing. Whose mind is stayed on you. You see, people, if your mind is stayed on Almighty God, nothing out there should ever be allowed to upset you or get you all worked up about politics or, you know, as if Donald Trump was the devil himself or whoever. You know what I mean? Listen to me. God is on the throne, amen? And we are people who are claiming to be in fellowship with Almighty God. Therefore, people, we should carry that fragrance, what Paul calls the fragrance of the knowledge of Christ, with us. What kind of relationship do you have with your next door neighbours? Do you know, the last time I was here, I think I told you this story, I want to tell you the encore. My next door neighbour and her partner, they're not married, they went kayaking up to Haida Gwaii. Not this summer, the summer before. When they came back, I met Sasha one day when I was out walking. It's amazing who you meet when you're out walking, you know. I meet every day people whose dogs are taking them for a walk, you know, the kind of thing. But I met my next door neighbour and I said, well, how did it go? How did the she said it was amazing. Then she began to get teary. She said, you know, Clayton, it was almost divine. I said, Sasha, you know what was happening? I said, the God who created all that was revealing himself to you. Well, they've been back this year to up the north of Vancouver Island. And they came back and I said to them, how did it go this time? And she and her partner were both there. Isabel was with me. They said, we went up to a certain spot up in the north. And they said, you'll be interested to know what it's called. It's called God's Pocket. They're beginning to get the message, guys. It's God's pocket. The whole thing is God's pocket. Amen? He is the creator and sustainer of it all. The whole future lies in his hands. Bless his wonderful name. And so, this is what God's will for you and me is today. This is what God is offering to us. This kind of relationship with him so that when we are facing the challenges of life, because we are with resolute heart, we're walking with Him, we're in His Word, we're allowing God to speak into our lives every day, whatever challenges you have, He will make His presence real right there. Amen. Right there. And that is the beautiful thing about the whole business. Whose mind is stayed on you because he trusts in you. The Hebrew word for this trust is botak. Sounds like a glue of some kind, doesn't it? Botak. It means to abandon to lean upon. Psalm 55, cast your burden, roll it upon the Lord, because he cares for you. That's what it means, trusting him. I remember when I had my appendix removed when I was 15 years of age in Falkirk Royal Infirmary in Scotland. And those other guys had surgeries in the same ward as me, and some of them were getting up and going to have a shave and stuff like that. So I thought one day I'm going to do that too. I'm going to have a walk down the corridor. Well, I got to the place where the guys were all shaving and stuff like that, and what I did was I got up out of my bed without getting permission, and I went up too quickly. And I'm standing there next to these guys, and everything started going woo woo woo, you know, the kind of thing. And all I could do was grab the guy next to me and hang on for dear life. What was I doing? I was trusting him, amen? I was trusting him in my weakness and in my need. People, the Lord's calling you to simply do that. Just abandon yourself to him. I'm thrilled with the word of, you know, God said to Israel in Exodus, he said, I bore you on eagle's wings and I brought you to myself. Now, we sometimes think, isn't that a great thing? The Lord says, I'm his. Underneath are the everlasting arms. I'm surrounded by his love. That's wonderful. There's another side to that, though. To come to the Lord and say, yes, I'm glad I'm yours, Lord, but I want you to know, from my side, I'm yours. Everything I am, everything I have, I'm yours. I'm just handing it over to you. I'm yours, Lord. One wee story and I'm done. I was listening to Joni Eriksson Tada on the radio the other day. And she was talking about different things, talking about Christian education particularly. Talking about how many pastors and church and Christian workers, they go to Bible school. And she wasn't decrying that, and neither am I. Don't misunderstand me right now, okay? But Joni said this, and I think this is my quote of the decade. She said, I've never spent 4 years in Bible school, but I have spent 50 years in a wheelchair. Amen? The result of a diving accident when she was 17 years of age left her a total invalid. And that you never met a more godly woman. Somebody who oozes peace. Peace. Amen? Why? Because she's learned to trust. Okay, we would say, well, that's kind of harsh of God, is it not? Listen to me, people. Joni Eriksson Tada and you and me, God takes us through certain experiences sometimes because he knows that's the only way we'll learn what we need to learn. And what with Joni, it's a terribly sad business. But oh, what she has known of God, amen? What she has known of God, she's learned to trust him. Hear the promise today, will you? You will keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on you because he trusts in you. I pray, God, this morning that that will become real for every one of us. If you've never ever come to the Lord and said to him, Lord, for the very first time, thank you for loving me, a sinful person. Thank you for dying for me on the cross. Lord Jesus, I want you to know I'm deciding today, I'm trusting you as my personal Savior and Lord. Maybe you're a believer this morning, and you know that some of the experiences of life have deviated you from being the kind of person who with resolute heart are walking with God. Maybe you need to make a new start today. Amen? Maybe you need to come humbly to the Lord. Say, Lord, I'm trusting. I took part in a funeral service when we were in Ontario a few weeks ago. Dear friend of mine, I played golf with him 3 years ago, and we met and we had lunch together after our game of golf, and this man was completely godless, but God gave me an amazing opportunity to explain the gospel to him. And he was with me all the way. He listened to every word I said. Then he went through unbelievable surgeries, brain surgery, esophagus cancer, the whole thing. And a few weeks ago he passed away. But before he died, and he was in hospital in Ontario, and his wife let me speak to him on the phone, on his cell phone. And I said, Brian, the Lord Jesus says, come to me and I'll give you rest. I said, Brian, just come to him. Tell Jesus you're trusting him. That's all. And he said to me, Clayton, I'm trusting. Amen. But when I spoke at his memorial service, I just told the people exactly what I've told you. His wife had been attending for several years a ladies' Bible study, and they came to me afterwards absolutely thrilled to bits. They said, Clayton, we've been praying for Brian for 7 years. 17 years, I beg your pardon. 17 years. We've been praying for Brian. Isn't that awesome? One of the joys of being an evangelist is you get sometimes of just the last link in the chain, but you're just a very wee bit of the story. Do you know what I'm saying? People are praying. God is amazing. Just trust Him. Amen. Father, we bow in humble worship. We're totally unworthy, O God, of your blessing, of your love, and yet you've done so much to bring us to yourself. God, I want to pray that every young person, every grown up, every adult, every person in this room today will go from this place, Lord, and in our hearts we'll tell you, Lord, we're trusting. Thank you for your promise, Father. Thank you for your faithfulness. Thank you for who you are. Thank you for our amazing Savior, the Lord Jesus. We worship you in his precious name. Amen.